small groups. This was literally quote. It says, each week I felt like the small group, that's not in there, hit me right where I needed it. I learned to totally surrender myself to God. And in doing so, our lives, her family, has been totally transformed. Remember, we're not a church with small groups, we're a church of small groups. And why? Because that's where people find freedom. See, you could be struggling maybe with your identity or your marriage today, and you're not going to come today and hear a message directly towards your marriage or directly towards your identity. Are there things from the message today you can apply to those areas? Absolutely. But small groups are where we keep our finger on a stronghold for weeks on end. And by the end of that, you truly understand what the word says about that topic. And because of his word and his son Jesus and watching his life through the New Testament, you find freedom from that stronghold. So I encourage you, they're going to be released in the next couple days. Yes, that's an advertisement for small groups because we believe in them. And we believe that lives are touched and changed through them. So we're going to continue in our staying in the right lane of our name series. I want to take it a step further today, and I want to speak to you about, yes, things we know. We have power and authority. Pastor Randy did an amazing job last week telling us about the things, the gifts that are within the name of Jesus. Honestly, we could have taught on that for 52 weeks. And never left the name of God and everything that he represents in who he is. But we found out about power and authority. We found about healing. Healing is in his name. We don't have to be sick and diseased. Come on. We found out about provision. We found out about salvation. And everything that you need is wrapped up in that salvation and redemption message. Amen? All in the name of Jesus. I'm reminded of when I was younger, we had a little episode happen at our house this weekend. Water ran out of a sink, went all over the floor, everything. And I reminded Randy, I said, Randy, shh, before you get all upset, I remember Thanksgiving Day, I set our kitchen on fire. And the only thing my parents could say was, oh, Jesus! I remind you, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of a situation that is out of your control, just call on his name, amen? When all else fails, the name of Jesus will prevail. My father walked out of that kitchen with a pan of hot grease that had caught on fire, flaming our entire side of our kitchen, which had a window in it from that day forth, above the stove. Literally walked out with this grease fire in his hand and walked out of the door without one burn on him from carrying a grease fire. And it was actually put out. Our whole house had to be erasered from fire damage. It was terrible. All because I couldn't wait for Thanksgiving dinner and needed French fries before. Buy a fryer. It's better. It's been much safer. Anyways, there is no other name greater than his name. No other name. It is the name above all names. And it demands respect. It demands honor. It demands that it be held in awe. Today, I want to talk to you because we, as Christians, bear his name. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so let's go lay some foundation. We're going to start in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 7. And this is what it says. Let me get where I'm at. Okay, it says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, straight away, let's just start at the beginning. We're realizing that if you're a KJV user, which is what I was raised on, that I remember this as, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. That's what it was said, right? And so in our house, it was not allowed for God's name to be used haphazardly. You weren't allowed to say, oh my. Now I say, oh my goodness, right? Because I don't want to misrepresent his name. It was a Ten Commandment, but it was also meant that for us in our day and age, in our culture, it wasn't that you didn't say the Lord God's name, but you didn't put a cuss word with it. You realize that when you use God's name with a cuss word, you're really cursing God. I just want to throw that out there for all of you that might think just because of the way you were raised, it's okay. It's not okay. God tells us to put all filthy communication far from us. What does that mean? Don't communicate like the world. Don't talk like the world. Right? It's that simple. So we see that, but it means much more than that. Much, much more than that. Let's go a little deeper. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, and let's go to 17 through 22. Sorry, I got to get there. I got all these marks in my Bible, but it doesn't seem to get me to the right place. Deuteronomy 18, 17 through 22. It says, "The Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth,'" God using man to get done what he wants to get accomplished. "'He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to an account anyone who does not listen.'" God's telling that if you do not listen to the word of God that I tell you, I'm going to hold you in contempt. I'm going to hold that to your account. Did he not say that? "I myself will call account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name." Did you hear that? Everyone that came down front that said God spoke to them today in a word of prophecy will be held to the account between them and God. Whether you believe it was of God or not, if they felt God spoke to them, they're going to be held in account. If they didn't share it, they're going to be held accountable for disobedience. But if they did share it and mix themselves in the prophecy, woe, woe unto you, you will be held accountable. "But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of another God, is to be put to death." Can someone say the name of God is to be taken seriously? They weren't smacked on the hands and put in prison. They were just stoned, put to death, if they missed the voice of God. Whew, thank the Lord for his grace. "You may say to yourselves, 'How can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord?' If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed." Now, we can take a whole lot from those last two verses. I wasn't going to include that in the message today, but I want to remind you that in this day and age where you can get on YouTube and find every prophet, Tom, every Joe, everyone that says they've been called by God and they're a prophet, you can write down what they say is going to happen on the date they say it's going to happen. And when it don't, you should be following up on YouTube to see if there's a repentance that comes after when the prophet does not come through with what the word of God says. Quit following liars. Quit following haphazard people that throw around, "God said this and God said that." Well, if God said it, then it best be coming to pass. I'm just going to be real with you. I get so infuriated that people begin to live their life in fear of what a prophet has declared. Let me tell you something. There is nothing that anyone can tell me that will fear me from the Savior of my God. He promised me salvation. He promised me blessing. He promised that he would come save me from the midst of all of this. So it doesn't matter what happens in this life. I'm looking to a life that is to come. Don't follow this. Don't follow this fear-mongering that happens out there in the church. But here's the problem. What God was saying is that these prophets are coming around and they're saying what they want to tell you. They're telling you what their desires are, and they're feeding it to you in God's name. Don't believe it if it isn't going to come to pass. Don't misuse the name of God. Put that in the 20th century. 21st century. What's that mean to you and I? It means don't use God's name to manipulate what you want to happen. Have you ever heard, "You know, I've been praying for so-and-so because God led me to. What do you think about her situation? You ever heard about that? Oh yeah, let me tell you something. That is called gossiping and hearing a wrong of another person. Don't even give ear to it. Say, oh, Jezebel, and run. Because all those people are trying to do is to pull you into sin and to steep you in it with them so that you can be held accountable. Oh no, sister so-and-so, she was asking me, she was praying about this situation and she just wanted to know this because God told her to get on her knees and pray about it. Well, if God told you to get on your knees and pray about it, then he's telling you and you alone, get on your knees and pray about it. And everything you need to know, he will reveal all things. But he didn't leave it to you to reveal it to the world. Oh, I know I'm preaching up someone's alley. We're not allowed to leave places. I'm going to just say this out too. When you're uncomfortable where you are in your job and it's causing you to grow, when you're uncomfortable in your church and it's causing you to grow, you don't get to come to the pastors and say, God told me to leave. Because really, you don't like the new songs we've been singing on Sunday. God puts you in uncomfortable places so you will forge your way and grow. So you'll depend more on him than you have in the past. He's putting you in a place where someone's going to step on your toes and make you pull them under the pew and go, ooh, I'm not allowed to use that word no more. Don't let me use that word because it's not good. Pastor Nicole said, that's filthy. Just look right at your husband or wife. Said, that's filthy. You ain't allowed to talk like that. You realize you entertain angels around you? And angels can't be around anything that isn't holy. Can't be around that. So when you start talking that foul language, when you start misrepresenting God's name and start saying he's telling you stuff that he's really not telling you just to get your family to do what you want, just to get your friends to manipulate and to work them like witchcraft to get them to do what you want, all in God's name. All you're doing is misrepresenting who God is. Amen. You and I represent God. Amen. You get that. You bear his name. Let's go to Numbers. This is another one. So you're not allowed to talk if he didn't tell you to talk it and put his name to it. Let's go to Numbers, the 6th chapter, the 22nd verse. Through 27. I got to get faster at this. It says, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Sound familiar? That's the blessing song that we sing. The blessing song taken straight from scripture. It says, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. God's people have been put a name upon them. These were the Israelites. These were the Jewish people. But when you fast forward into the New Testament, it wasn't just for Jewish people to be called sons and daughters of God, but that became for you and I, the Gentiles, because when Christ came, he bought and purchased us and adopted us into the family of God, and now you bear his name. Let's just look at that analogy for a minute. I can say these names: Adidas, a DeWalt drill. Oh yeah, come on boys, I know who you are. A Jeep Cherokee. Or even for you ladies, a Tiffany's necklace. What does all these mean? Each brand is known for something. Whether it's quality, right? Whether it's longevity. Whether it's the strength and power of that DeWalt, how it doesn't give up in the grit, right? Or whether it's Tiffany's, that each one has a number on the back, that if you ever lose it, it's registered and it can be returned. Please, can you tell I'm not, not real, like, you know, what do they call that? Needless to say, who cares? The point is, when you buy a brand, you assume you can count on the brand you bought. You believe in that brand. And when the brand don't deliver what you paid for, I'm going to be honest with you. If anyone in here, now I'm using Adidas because my husband wears Adidas. That's what he likes. It fits him well, he thinks. Whatever. If I brought home Adidas pants and they only had 2.5 stripes down the side, he'd say, nope, them ain't Adidas. You want to know why? Because anyone who wears Adidas knows you better have 3 stripes or it's not Adidas. Same way with things that you purchase. You expect something when you buy a brand. You can represent that brand. You know, Randy has this thing. He doesn't cross dress. I'm like, what does that mean? He said, I don't wear Adidas pants and an Under Armour shirt and Nike socks. I'm not doing it. You got to wear all the same brand from the top to the bottom. Come on, whatever. If I like it, I wear it, right? That's just where I'm at. God's people were like this, though, because Israel was expected to live up to the brand. They were expected as God's people that they should live a holy lifestyle. In fact, God had put in laws that they were going to live according to. Do you realize that Adidas, wherever it's made, God only knows. I don't know if that's made in America or not, but we should all be buying made in America. Hear me out. You should. Why? Because it helps all of us. That's why. Okay, that's not in my notes. I should stay off that. Anyways. Adidas has this amount of protocols that has to be done. And the reason you find name brands in stores like TJ Maxx or in Marshall's or in the rack from, I forget what store that is, but it's great. It's in New York. It's like 7 stories tall. Oh, it's awesome. It's great. Everything's on sale. And the higher up you go in the store, the lower the prices get. So you don't start on the bottom. You start at the top and you work your way down. Because then when you run out of money, you didn't waste it on anything expensive, right? The point is, the reason it's there is because it didn't meet a standard. It didn't meet the Adidas standard that had been set. The Israelites were given a set of laws that they were to abide by in order to remain in his name. And when they fell short of that, God would reprimand what was happening through the prophet. In fact, they were expected to represent him. And in order to do that, it meant you better live your life different. You better raise your children different. Your marriage looked different because you represented God. Even the way they did their business dealings looked different. For all you businessmen out there, just because you're a businessman, it doesn't give you the ability to act like the world, to cheat, to steal, to connive, because you think that's going to get you ahead. The people of God trusted in God to get them ahead. Not thievery, not stealing from people. It was the honest way to live. In fact, let's go. I put this in my notes. This is where the made in China thing comes. The people of Israel had a made in God label instead of a made in China or made in America. They were foreigners in this land. Do you get that? You and I are not from here. We are simply passing through. And we are God's children. And when we're here, we represent him and his name. His name. Let's go to Jeremiah 7:4. This is another good one. This one I didn't have marked, so I got to turn there. It says, actually, let me preface it. It says that the temple of God bears his name. Let me give you a little preface to this. Jeremiah was a prophet warning the people of God that were living in a place of adultery, sexual immorality. They were treating foreigners incorrectly in their land. Oh, yeah, let me just sit there for a minute. How many of you have seen the onslaught of foreigners that have come into America? Doesn't matter what your political stance is. I want to talk to you real heart to heart right here. God said in the Bible In fact, one of the commandments was given just because of the way they were treating the foreigners. Because the Israelites were captured and put into Egypt and put into captivity, they were foreigners of Egypt. They were kept as slaves. But God said, because of the way you were treated in Egypt, have you forgotten how you were treated as slaves and as foreigners and taken advantage of and mistreated and mocked and laughed at? Don't you dare laugh at the foreigners in my land. You welcome them. You love them as yourself. Woo! Now, I'm just going to bring this real home real fast. How many of you been seeing the foreigners in your nation that you drive by, and because they're of foreign descent, that you know they were bussed on a bus here by someone who was bringing in an open border, whether you like it or not, that is not the representation of those people. And I'm going to tell you, some of you wanted to be a missionary your whole life, but you never had the money to go to Haiti. You never had the money to go to Africa. You never had the money to go to Mexico. But I'm telling you right now, they've been brought to your back door. They've been brought to your back door, and you can witness. You can share God. In fact, you can take your coat off and put it on them. You could love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you could represent the living God in a better way. Now, you think I'm telling you to let them come in and steal and to rape and to commit adultery and crimes in our nation? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you're stupid. What I'm saying is that you need to be the representation of the love of God, because the love of God is for all mankind, all nations, all color, all age, all race, all. And it is not your and I's right to decide who gets the name and who doesn't get the name. They all get to hear about his name. I don't like dousing out money. Don't get me wrong. I don't like giving away free money either. But the bottom line is, I don't want to see people hungry. I don't want to see people go without. Do I think the system's broke? Absolutely, I think the system's broke. But what I know is that they're here on my back doorstep. Why wouldn't I share the gospel? Why wouldn't I welcome the foreigner and say, you're here, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me show you the American way. But we're too upset because they don't spend money like we spend it. They're getting too much money. They're getting more than our welfare. I agree. I think that's wrong, but it doesn't change the situation. It doesn't change where we're at. What it means is that you and I, bearing the name of Christ, if they all get deported tomorrow, I want them to leave America saying, I'm telling you what, in God that nation trust. I saw it everywhere I went. There wasn't no one afraid of not having enough. In fact, I saw people give me stuff that I didn't deserve. I saw them share the name of Jesus with me, and now I'm taking hope back to Mexico. I'm taking hope into Haiti, because now Jesus lives in me. But if all their experience is hate, what did we do to God's name? After all, we're the nation that's a Christian nation, right? Let us be the light. Let us love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Because I guarantee you, you would not be treating yourself like some of the things I've heard about them. Let's go to Ephesians 2:19. We're called. See, what Jeremiah was saying to them is that you come in and you act like devils during the week. You act like sheer devils. And then whoever these prophets are, they're telling you that it's okay because there's, you know, presence in the sanctuary. And when you come in on Sunday, you just wash your hands and you get in the presence, and that erases it all. No, he said, quit living like that. Quit believing the lies of people that don't understand the God-given word, and they're telling you that you can live like a sinner all week and show up to church on Sunday, and it's just, oh, it's okay, because you're in the safety of God's presence. It's not okay. It's not okay. Reform your ways. Turn from your ways. Make an about face. Make an about face. Repentance means turn from your way. In other words, I was headed to hell doing what I was doing. Now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to run towards heaven. It doesn't mean I'm going to stick around and dabble in this a little bit longer. And maybe I can just see if I make it come out of where I was and step into who Christ is. Because that's what we've been called to. Let's go to Ephesians 2:19. I gotta stay on track or I'm gonna get lost. It's important though for us to hear about things in our culture and how we're to deal with these things. I understand it's harder than it seems. I get it. But you represent Jesus. You represent him. All right, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. In other words, you as Gentiles are name bearers of God. It says, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Whew! And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In Jeremiah, it said that you, the temple of God, has his name displayed, right? That's Old Testament. You had to go to the temple to be in God's presence. But after Christ came, died at Calvary, now his Holy Spirit lives within you and I. God's Spirit is in you and I. We house the Spirit of God. You understand that it's likened to a temple in Jerusalem. Jesus is the cornerstone. He holds this wall and he holds this wall. And then the apostles and the prophets hold up the rest. They're the foundation to what we are. What's the foundation? Everything the apostles and the prophets wrote right here. This is our foundation, our word. We stand upon it. But do you realize that each and every one of us is a name bearer? David, you're a block. You are in the house of God, and you're God's child. You're a block. Come up here. I'm not going to make you get on your four knees and then build someone on top of you, but you're going to get my point. Bree, you are God's child. Get up there. You're another block. Look, watch this. I don't want mine on my shirt. I want it on my forehead. You want to know why? Because you look at my eyes. And I want you to know, I want you to look at me and know that Jesus is in me. I want you to know that I'm his kid, and I want you to hold me accountable. Gerald, you are a child of God. Get up there. Annie, a child of God. Right here, Tyler, I got you. You, come on. Now, come on, all of you get up here. Because here's what's happening. You together make the temple of God. You are like the... For sake, so you don't have to laugh at me. I'm going to put it on my shirt. But I gave you a point. You are the temple of God. And every stone is being fit together. Just like this. Look at you. Look at you. This becomes the body of Christ. Christ is coming back for a body, a believer. He's the head of the church, and the church is submissive to him. He's my God, and all of us represent his body. Now, David, right now, you represent only Believe, because that's where you work. Yeah. Bree, do you realize that your workplace, where do you, no, don't tell me. Wherever you work, you represent. Annie, do you know in the sewing quilting world of America, this woman makes so many quilts. I can say it because it's Hoop Sisters. It's a simple brand. You should buy it. It's great. She made 24 quilts designed last year and sells them. You represent God in your quilt making. You understand? UNOH? No? Yeah. UNOH College. You know what this kid represents? Jesus when he's there. Jesus when he's there. Jesus to a different culture. Jesus to a bunch of diesel mechanics who have dirt under their nails. And they come and sit at your Thanksgiving table and eat with grease on their hands. And who cares? I'm just talking to all you judgy moms out there. I'm being real. There isn't enough orange clean you can use to get it off their hands. Gerald, thank you for representing in the business world. You know why? The way you do business, everyone's watching. And what all of these people do affects the way I look. Affects the way you look. You know, you're all name bearers of Only Believe. Oh yeah, those are those Only Believe people. They believe anything's possible. Don't tell them you got a need because they're going to pray for you. Oh, listen, the ladies at McDonald's know us from Only Believe. In fact, another lady was ministering to a lady that I was ministering to at McDonald's, and she said, "Do you go to Only Believe?" She said, "No, I don't. I go to this church in Lima." I love it. What is that? Representing God as a whole. We're not gangs. Only Believe isn't different from the First Assembly of Assemblies of Assemblies, whoever you are. We represent God together. And we just have this little block of foundation in the wall of Jerusalem, in God's body. But together, we make his body with his name. You can sit down. Thank you. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Turn there real quick. I'm going to try to get through this. Got to make room for other people to preach. Amen. It says, "Do not you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you?" Who? This is what he's asking. Who's in you? Is it good or is it bad? Because if you're a temple of God, then it best be God inside of there. It says, "You are not your own." Wait, no. Who is in you? "Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Do you get that it doesn't mean honor your body? Look. Look what it says. It said, "Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Do you get that when you disgrace the body, when you participate in sinful acts, you disgrace all of us? That's hard to hear. That's really hard to hear. I get it, because I'm an imperfect person. The last thing I want to do is sin against God, but I definitely don't want to misrepresent him to you. And I don't want you to pay the price of ostracization. Have you ever tried to minister to somebody, share the gospel, and they're like, "You know what? I've had enough of that Christian stuff. I know this guy, and if he's living for Jesus, I don't want nothing to do with Christianity." You know why? He used the Lord God's name in vain. He misused my God's name. And he made the whole body of Christ look bad. When you and I get set in our ways, when you and I start disrespecting people that don't believe like us, know what battle to pick and when not to pick it. Could I just say that? The older I've gotten, I've just identified that there's nobody that's chose a different president based on the sign I put in my yard. I'm just going to be real with you. Ain't nobody came like, "Oh, Pastor Nicole, thanks for putting that sign in your yard. I changed my vote because you posted it." Ain't nobody ever come up to me and said, "Thanks for that argument on Facebook. Yeah, I gave my life to Christ through that argument." You know what they do? They look at you and they go, "There's the church again, poking and prodding at everybody they don't agree with." You know what? Live your life peaceably. Quit bickering and arguing and acting like a devil on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and come sit in the pew and act like, "Woo, God's all over me." That doesn't please anybody. I'm being real with you, church. This is not a game. It's not something we play. It's something we believe. It's something we dedicate our lives to. And together we make this beautiful body of Christ. And let me remind you, If you got a brother or sister ailing, you know what? Take your coat. I need to make sure my outfit's decent, but I got a black tank top on in this. I'm fine. And if you can see my pit stains, then I'm sorry. When you walk and you're walking with a brother, come on, you're going to be a big brother though. And you're walking with a brother, and this brother starts going AWOL, and he just starts losing his mind in his mouth. Yep, okay, come over here. You need to sit. You need to sit yourself down. Sit. I'm going to cover you up so the world don't see you in your infancy. I'm going to keep you covered, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to make you understand what you're doing is not helping the body, but it's injuring us as a body. You get that? It's not, oh my gosh, did you hear what he did? Oh my, he's been doing this at work. He's been doing that at work. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
See how that works? We cover one another. Cover when you see someone failing. That's what the body of Christ does. See, if my arms hurt, I pick it up. I tie it close to my body. Why? Because I don't want it wailing around hitting nobody. No blood dripping out of my arm, bruising, swelling. I pull it close because it's hurt. Do you realize hurt people hurt others? Hurt mouths, people that have been scorned their whole life, who have been talked down to, who have nothing but negative things to say. My dad used to call them negative Nellies. Negative Nellies are negative because they were spoke negative to. People who lived a life of positivity and were told they could do it. They just turned out to be spoiled brats. No, I'm kidding. I'm not a spoiled brat. My parents thought you could never spoil a kid with too much stuff as long as they were thankful along the way. The second thankfulness stopped, so did the gifts. Church, you are called to be so much, and you bear his name. Whether you like it or not, this season, I was in line the other day and I heard a lady talking to the lady in Meijer, and she was the rudest woman I had ever met in my life. And after she left, she said, God bless. I went, she should have said devil bless, because she didn't bear my God's name. And I looked at the lady and she went to grab something I had on the conveyor belt and I touched her hand and I said, I'm sorry. She said, sorry for what? I said, sorry for that way that represented my God and the way she treated you, because that's not how Christ would treat you. I'm sorry. I said, everyone should be nice. It's the holidays, but everyone that has Jesus should always be nice. Amen. And she said, thanks for saying that. Oh, you wouldn't believe what I put up with. Yeah. Be a light in this dark world. Amen. I'm not going to go into Ephesians. Write this down. I don't often give you homework, but I'm going to tell you, if you really want the fullness of this message, go to Ephesians 4 and read 4 and 5 chapters. And it talks about the things that you need to put off of yourself. Put off. If you're going to bear his name, it talks about living a holy life. Please read those this week. Because as you're out in public, there should be things that make you stand out. And they should be the fruits of the Spirit. Love, kindness, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering with the people that are pouring into our nation. Church, I love you. But I love you enough to tell you that you can't act like a devil and bear his name. You're doing us all a misjustice. See, we bear his name in our marriage. You realize the way you talk to your spouse, the way you support your spouse, the way you communicate with your spouse. If you treat your spouse less than the world believes that Jesus treats us less than. If you disrespect her or him in public, then the world believes that's the way we do. If you talk to your kid and tell them they're nothing and they're idiots and you can't do nothing right, I don't understand why you can't get this right. I've told you 100 times. Then the world believes that Jesus looks at you and says, John, if you could just do it right, I wish you'd get it right. How many times have you read the scripture? Get it right. It's not who Jesus is. It's not who God is. He's a God of love. When someone's been touched by you, when someone's been talked to by you, when someone's been prayed for by you, do they know they've been touched by God? Whew. The Spirit of the living God is in you and me. Don't take this wrong. And when I touch my husband, he knows he's touched by the love of God. Clear his mind in Jesus' name. Amen. When you're on the front row, you get thoughts. I'm just saying. Church, the Spirit of God lives in you. And you bear his name bright and clear, whether you think you do or not. Your words, your actions, your deeds, the way you do your job, it all matters. Bear his name well. And don't misuse it or take it in vain. It means much more than just cussing. Stand to your feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. What a powerful name. What a powerful name. Powerful, powerful name we serve. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. And you're like, I don't know who these people are, but they're crazy. I've never seen a pastor leave the pulpit. I apologize for my actions. I'm very demonstrative. But today, maybe you're here and you want to make peace with God. Maybe you've been wrestling and you know that there's something more in life, but you haven't been able to find it. Maybe you don't bear his name, but you want to. And you're like, Pastor Nicole, I don't know if I can do this like the way you're talking. It's such a high standard. Well, I got good news. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. That's the power in his name. He sent Jesus to come and pay a price for you and I to wash our sin away. But he also gave us the ability to defeat sin. You and I can live in the power of Christ who never sinned. Like I said, I'm not perfect and I haven't met that mark, and nor will I ever. But I know who God is, and I know that he forgives me. And every time I fail short, he's there to catch me and to bring me back home. And I repent and I turn from the way and I do my best to be better tomorrow. And sometimes I find myself in the same position over and over and over. You know, the other day I was so proud of myself because I gave out my name card. I know it sounds crazy. I hate rejection. I hate when I share Jesus and they reject him because it hurts my heart. Because I really want them saved. But I'm fearful of that rejection. I'm fearful, but it's not my job to get them to accept. It's my job to offer him. And then they get to do with it what they want. I went through twice this week. I've been carrying this in my phone case. So I'll remember to give it out. And two times God brought me a person that had no hope. And I said, you know what? I see where you're at and you're gonna do okay today. You're gonna make it through this shift. But Christmas Eve, my church is having two services. Would you come? Because that's where true hope lies. Not in just who shows up at Dunkin' Donuts in the morning to do a shift. Yep, just ratted myself out. I had 6 donut holes. Because I thought that was less than a donut. I don't know. I think she even blessed me with a couple more, but I didn't count, so I wasn't responsible. Fear. The enemy tries to tell me, don't do that. Because they'll reject him. It's not true. Everyone that I gave the card to said, thank you. Thank you. And put it in their pocket. You've been lied to and told that God won't accept you where you are. It's not true. It's not true. If you're here in this house today and you say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to do my best to bear his name. And you might have to get a big old blanket out to cover me. because I'm not going to do it all right. That's okay. Together, as the family of God, we're going to do it together. Is there anyone in this house that says, I want to give my life to Jesus today? I want to live like a Christian. I want to honor him with my life. Anyone? Neighbors, if you're standing next to someone you don't know, I want you to verbally ask them if they know Jesus as their personal Savior. And if they say no, offer to walk them right down. Is there anyone? All right, church, turn around and look at your seat because I'm asking everyone to get a card. I'm telling you that if I can do it, so can you. We've got two Christmas Eve services this year, not one, two. One at 4 o'clock so you can still get to your dinner, and one at 6 o'clock so you can still open your presents and get to dinner too if it's early in the day. We want to make this as easy for you as possible. It's the best service of the year. It's candlelight. Everybody's in a nice mood. You can dress up, you can dress down, you can wear red, you can wear black. Whatever you want, just come as you are. We're going to celebrate Jesus together. Amen? Father, we just come before you. We thank you for the word brought forth today. Father, I thank you that today we represent you. We know our name. We know who we are, and we know what you did for us, and we embrace it. And because of that, we want to give it to others. Father, bring people across our path that need hope. Every single one of us, God, I rebuke the spirit of fear to share the gospel message. I rebuke that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Devil, stop lying to people, telling them that people don't want a God. Yes, they do. They want our Jesus. Father, help us represent in a way better than ever before. And God, call us to reformation and change and pull us back when we're not. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. If you're sick in your bodies and you need prayer today, the prayer team will be down here with you, and we want to minister the gospel to you today. Thank you. See you on Wednesday.